This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna.
The century is our topic of conversation. Why the world will be watching Egypt in 2027. Well, some experiences are so rare that they only happen once in a lifetime. And on August the 2nd, 2027, millions of people around the world will turn their eyes to the skies as Egypt becomes the best place on Earth to witness what astronomers are calling the eclipse of the century. Well, with more than 6.5 minutes of totality, it will be one of the longest total solar eclipses visible anywhere on the planet this century. And it's already generating enormous interest, with hotels booked years in advance and astronomy enthusiasts planning their trips well ahead of time. Joining us now is someone who's spent a lifetime helping us better understand the universe. Professor David Block, a well-renowned South African astronomer, author, and inspirational speaker. And he'll also be leading a very special eclipse expedition along the Nile. I wish I could join that, and many others, I suppose. But Professor, for now, it's wonderful to have you with us, and thank you for joining us on today's show.
Thank you, Michael. It is indeed so exciting. And you've summarized it so eloquently.
It does indeed. I must admit, I'm not professing to be a professional astronomer, but certainly, you know, one is always amazed at what, you know, one sees in the skies from now and then.
Well,
but once again,
indeed, absolutely. You know, we are of course awaiting the final results of the World Cup and so on, but this is the astronomy's World Cup. I mean, there's no doubt about it. In August the 2nd next year, there's no doubt about it. We are chartering a boat called the Dahabiya, these boats used by the pharaohs to cruise upon the Nile. And then we're going to be looking up, listen to this, Michael, the moon shadow will cross the boat, will cross where we are in Luxor, traveling at a speed of 1,080 kilometers per hour, compared to the speed of a commercial jet, which is about 900 kilometers per hour.
Wow.
It's quite an extraordinary event, you know. You look at the ground, and you spoke about sand so eloquently and the dunes. Well, here you'd be standing, we'll be standing among some ancient temples, probably. You know, the moon shadow racing across at 1,000 kilometers per hour, 300 meters per second, is something astronomers can only dream of. I've never, ever in my life seen an eclipse of over 6.5 minutes in totality, Michael. But why it's been called the eclipse of the century is this. Usually, solar eclipses are not easy to see because of weather. Often you are clouded out. You know, you might travel like I did to the States, to Texas, and you get clouded out, washed out, and you don't see it. What makes this eclipse of the century is that over Luxor next year, August the 2nd, there will be no cloud at a level of 99% because it's desert. It's desert. And so the probability of cloud that day is around less than 1%. And so I'm just so delighted to be able to inform your precious listeners of this truly once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to behold the face of the moon covering that of the sun, you know, the Bailey beads, the solar prominences, the solar corona. It goes on and on.
Astronomers could have chosen many destinations, but now Egypt, and specifically Luxor, has become the place to be. What makes it the perfect location for this eclipse?
Ah, that's lovely. The path of totality is a very, very narrow one, an exceedingly narrow one. And so it passes, for example, over Tunisia and countries in North Africa. But the, in answer to your excellent question, it's the alignment of the sun, the moon, and the earth in perfect alignment over Luxor is basically the longest time of totality. There are other countries which will experience like 2 minutes of totality, 3 minutes, but it's the geometrical lineup of those three celestial bodies And people are well, which will cause Luxor to be the best. I want to tell you this. It's fascinating, Michael. Hotels are booked out 3 years ago.
Wow.
I mean, that's incredible. Hotels in Luxor are booked out. So I begged and pleaded with a tour operator in Egypt. I said, please, I'm in Soros, please help me. And they have said to me, Prof, the only route forward is to charter a boat, which goes down the Nile, and this is what we'll be doing, looking up. But you're welcome to give listeners my email number, address, if they would like to know more details.
Okay, we will recap on that as we wrap up the conversation. Not now, that is, yes. Professor, but yes, we can reflect on that. But now, I'm intrigued. I mean, we look at ancient, I mean, this is a country, Egypt is a land of mystique and ancient history.
Yes.
And now we're meeting modern astronomy. Now, I love the idea that this journey combines one of nature's greatest spectacles with some of, well, with one of the world's oldest, you know, renowned civilizations. Professor, do you think the ancient Egyptians understood eclipses differently from how we do today?
Oh, I think that... I don't think I know that the answer is absolutely yes. Now mathematicians and astronomers, I mean, I can tell you about eclipses in the year 2050 or close to 2050. We can project eclipses when they'll occur thousands of years into time. But, you know, every year I go to see the aurora borealis, Michael, or the Northern Lights.
The Northern Lights, right.
And, you know, there the folklore is filled with stories of intrigue and mystique, because the ancient Vikings believed that these were omens of evil spirits, the aurora borealis. And they were, you know, I mean, even if you think of the Bayeux Tapestry, I don't know if you've if you remember this, but as part of the Bayeux Tapestry, which is on display now, I understand, in London, on loan from France, in the Bayeux Tapestry, there's one of the panels shows Halley's Comet, mm-hmm. and it shows people in utter trepidation and fear. The one guy has got knocked knees. I mean, his knees are shaking on the Bayeux Tapestry, because these were alarming for ancient civilizations, the dancing Northern Lights. Now we've got scientific explanations, you know, and it's the same with the eclipses. I am sure that the ancients would have looked upon this with a deep sense of horror, perhaps, and also foreboding. This is very true in astronomy in general. Comets are believed to be the carriers, the messengers of great events. Comets and eclipses, these are all in the realm, or were in the realm, of the utter mystique. And I mean, just imagine, one of the pharaohs, Tutankhamun, or one of the other pharaohs, just seeing something like this. I think the whole population would be petrified, really, because, you know, in those early days,
right,
we didn't have our understandings of modern celestial alignments.
Professor, moving from the ancient world, and as you've just outlined, those who observed the heavens at that time, we're looking now at, you've often spoken about the importance of looking up at the night sky. Now, in an age where
yes.
constantly... looking at our phones now, we're in a technological AI age. What do you think astronomy now teaches us about perspective?
Oh, I love that question. I think that mankind, you know, has lost out on the wonder of looking up. It is anticipated that over, for example, in New York, less than a fraction of a percent of people ever get to see the Milky Way. And what was amazing during my years at WITS is I would ask, folk in the Great Hall, I'd lecture to 1,000 students at a time, and I'd say, how many of you have ever looked up at the Milky Way? And none had. I'd ask during my public lectures, how many of you have actually gone, say, to the Karoo
right.
to look at the Milky Way? And the answer's maybe one or two per 100. So I believe that we've got this magnificent show, you know, Michael, above our heads every
sure.
night, this amazing display of looking up. But the tragedy is this, mankind, men and women, boys and girls, are invariably linked to AI, invariably linked to their phones. And to me, there's a composure, and to me, there's a calmness when I go outside, gaze into the depths of space, and the news of the day fades into significance, insignificance, as a sunset. It's a very rare experience, you know. It's just like when I'm listening, say, to Bach, you get that sense of deep composure,
sure,
and meaning and purpose, which you don't get on your phones.
Professor, I just wish we had more time to really, you know, like discuss this issue a bit further. But now, for
yes,
those listening who's thinking, this sounds incredible, but it's a big commitment, what would you say to convince them that this really is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity?
I suppose that the fact that hotels are booked 3 years in ahead and that astronomers around the world have alerted the public, not so much in South Africa, that's why I'm thrilled you interviewing me, Michael, but astronomers around the world are very aware that the opportunity is once in a lifetime to get 6.5 minutes of totality and excellent weather. That is so, and of course, and this also, the fact, you know, in 2 weeks' time, in fact, I am in Egypt, scouting out the, you know, exactly where we'll be for the eclipse. So
sure,
in 2 weeks' time, I am in Egypt, and you know, just to walk amongst those gargantuan, you know, the Valley of the Kings, the Valley of the Queens, the Colossi at Menmon, you know, these incredible ancient archaeological sites, to scout out the best sites for my group to see the eclipse is something that I can barely wait to do. And I think that's what makes this so unique. Totality, 6.5 minutes. The moon racing at over 1,000 kilometers per hour, the shadow thereof, the Nile, and of course the ancient civilizations in the area of Luxor or ancient Thebes.
Professor, before we wrap up, we did promise listeners, I did confirm with you your contact details or your website where one can follow this event and what and all your endeavors in this regard. If you can just give that
yes,
to us on whilst we're on air.
Certainly. My website is just www.davidblock, one word, DAVIDBLOCK,
right,
davidblock.co.za. My direct email is info@davidblock.co.za.
Okay, and when one accesses this or these sites, they'll be able to find out all about this adventure or endeavor to Egypt next year.
Absolutely.
and of course of all your shall we say celestial projects, am I correct?
I absolutely so. The details of all my Aurora tours are posted there, and as soon as I return from Egypt, I look very forward to sharing with your listeners, you know, some of the incredible spots,
sure,
which we will be scouting out for the August eclipse. But it is actually the World Cup for astronomers.
And Professor, certainly we're going to get you back on board with your feedback on this extraordinary event. And Professor, it's been a pleasure having you on board the Afternoon Brief, and everything of the best in regarding your journey to Egypt next year. I hope I could join you there, and everyone else, I'm sure. But Professor, once again, thank you for taking us on a journey that's as much about curiosity and wonder as it is about astronomy. I've been chatting to Professor David Block, a world-renowned South African astronomer, author, and inspirational speaker. Our topic of conversation is about this total solar eclipse, which will be best viewed from Egypt on August the 2nd in 2027. Well, that's something you can put down in your diary or your holiday endeavors, your holiday intentions. And I certainly hope, as I mentioned, I could possibly join that expedition. Time will tell.